Blog Talk Radio.
Community on this evening. Community.
And we're just going to be looking at some aspects of community and what the Most High is calling us to. I have found and start going on a site called Hebrew Connect. And I think I'm going to start posting advertisements on that site since a lot of our people hang out there. It's designed a lot like Facebook, but I don't see a lot of the negativity that I see on Facebook on the site. And so I'm just going to start advertising there as far as, you know, when lessons are and inviting people. Yeah. Inviting. All right, amen. All right, welcome, amen. Sister Mary.
Sister Mary.
Glad you're able to get
glad
on.
You're able to get on.
Is now in the conference.
Okay, okay. And shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom.
Glad that you were able to make it in. We're all well.
We're
thank
all
you.
Well. Thank you.
All right. So we are. I'm going to have to mute that line. We are endeavoring to. We're still defining community, as far as, you know, bylaws and things like that. But I want to cover it from the section of a lesson, and maybe do this once a month. But we're going to start advertising in other places so that we can start reaching out to more people, not just on, you know, through the blog talk, but through other communities, Facebook, Hebrew Connect, and other places. I don't really like Facebook because I just see so much mess out there. And, you know, it is, you know, but it is what it is. We still want to appeal to others in this. And since this is online, those online communities are a great place to start. I had somebody ping me the other night. They had a discussion going on about the four horsemen in Revelation. And it was going on through text messages. And so they texted me and said, hey, somebody ought to open their room. But I'm like, you know, I haven't opened up the room that I have associated with this on Pal Talk in a long time. And I sort of got tired of that forum. But I may, you know, open it up and just sit in there. But you get people from all over the world, and you do a ministry through there. But, you know, people are not really looking to, they really want to just use those types of sites for arguments. And I'm not into arguing about the scriptures anymore, debating them, you know, and those such things. But again, you never know who the Most High might send through what. So I may open up that forum and just take, you know, time to sit in there and participate. But we'll look at it. Anyway, we're going to be talking about community on this evening, and I'm just going to go through some scriptures. To reiterate this so that it is in the broadcast so that people who are looking online that since, you know, we're getting higher ratings and when people are searching for certain keywords, our broadcasts are coming up on the first pages. And, you know, that's important because people typically, if they search for something, they're not going past page one looking. Some people will, but most people will not. So, you know, if you have a site, store, anything like that, you want when people search that your name, your whatever you're doing comes up on the first page. And, you know, we've been out at it long enough to where I think according to the blog talk, their site, that, you know, we've been doing it long enough and the search engines are looking at us as authoritative when it comes to certain subjects. People search it out, and we get clicked on a lot for that. And so we want to use that, you know, not only that, but other veins, other avenues. All right, that being said, let us do our statement of faith. And where did I put you at? There we go. Our statement of faith, and then we will go ahead and jump into this lesson. I took a nap and the upstairs AC, I think when the guy changed out a board on one unit, it's like when he changed out that one board, the other board went bad. He didn't catch it. And, you know, they can't come out till Tuesday, but it's actually like 107 degrees, probably about 90 degrees in the room, not getting the full heat, but it's hot. So it's like a sauna in the bed, and that's just not good. But anyway, Yah is good and greatly to be praised. So we're going to go ahead and jump into this. I pray everybody, you know, got a chance to do your rest. I pray that you're not using the Sabbath to seek your own pleasure or to go out and do things that, you know, are not permissible on the Sabbath. You know, I had a brother call me, and so, you know, it kind of made me mad, and I shouldn't get mad, but it did make me mad. Because the caller was saying, you know, I called in to listen. I listened for a little while, and then I had to go out and cut lumber, cut wood. When they know that it's not permissible on the Sabbath, but they laughed about it. I'm like, you know, that's not a laughing matter. It's something that, you know, to me, you're taking it as a joke, and it's not a joke. So I didn't really appreciate it. Okay. And so they understood that I didn't appreciate it. And it's like you're saying that you follow the law and stuff, but then when you break it, it's something funny. No, I don't really play that, and so I didn't appreciate them doing that. Nevertheless, our statement of faith: I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8, and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and to keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. We just want to thank you, Father, and lift you up and magnify you on today. We want to give you honor and glory and praise, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O Yah Elohim, and there is none like you, Father. None like you. Hallelujah. You are the only wise and true potentate. You are the only true Elohim that there is. And everything else is the imagination of man's heart. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you and we lift you up and we magnify you on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, we are going to read from the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Common and community have a lot of things in common. May the Most High be a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of His word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us start this off with a definition for community. And then I want to talk about the different types of communities and what they're designed around so that we get some understanding of community. neighborhood doesn't necessarily mean community, okay? You can move into a neighborhood and not know any of your neighbors and not have anything in common with them except for you bought your house in the same neighborhood, okay? It doesn't mean that you're community. Community, a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. An example would be the body of Messiah. Another word for this is a group, a section, a body, a company, a set, a circle, a clique, a coterie, and I've never looked at that word or heard that one, a ring, a band, a faction, a gang, a bunch. A feeling of fellowship, second meaning, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. The sense of community, as an example, the sense of community that organized religion can provide. We want to go to Acts. We're going to still be in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verses 45 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 45 through 47. And sold their possessions. So let's go 44 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Elohim, or praising God, and having favor with all people. And the Lord, or Yah, added to the church daily such as should be saved. All right, so in this, the biblical example of community, after Messiah came, after Christ came and died on the cross, and he established the church, one of the first things that the church started doing was, it was adding members to the church. But as they added members to the church, they came together as a community. And they established the community that they had things in common, that they were willing to live by the same law, the same statutes, the same commandments, that they were coming together so that as they clumped together as a group of people, they had these things in common. Okay, so we're going to look at some of these things that the scriptures tell us that we're supposed to be having in common as a community. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Having a standard version up, I'm going to bring up the KJV on this. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We want to encourage one another unto love and good works. That, you know, we are genuinely caring about one another, and we're not just meeting to have our ears tickled. We're not just meeting because we want to feel good about ourselves, but we genuinely want to have genuine love one to another, and we want to provoke each other to what? Good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The day he's talking about is the sun come when he's talking about Jacob's trouble and the return of Messiah. And so we know that in these last days, we can look at mankind, we can look at the world, and the world is going crazy. The world is doing things that are not in accordance with the word of the Most High. They're making things up. They're making up their own religion. They're making up what's acceptable to them and what's not acceptable, and it's outside of the will of the Most High. And he says that in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of the Most High, worried about, you know, what they can get rather than doing the things that he said ought to be done. So we know that as a community, we're supposed to be establishing the kingdom on the earth. We're supposed to be establishing his kingdom on the earth. And we're supposed to have things in common, which is his standards, his law. What he says, as we were talking about last night, we're to do what he says to do. We're not to add to it or take away from it. And so when the church was building up, and it's just, you know, the church outside, it didn't start outside of Israel. It started with Israel. Okay? And it's not until we see the church go out into what are called the Gentile nations that we start getting deviation from the word of the Most High. We started getting deviation. And so when they talk about fathers, all of the church fathers, as far as the world is concerned, are Gentiles. And they started taking the word of the Most High and interpreting it the way that they wanted to interpret it. And it started with specifically the Catholic Church and its inception. And so if you go back into the history and you study this thing, then you will find that the Catholic Church, the Caesars, the Roman Catholic, not the Roman Catholic Church at this time, but the Roman government, the Caesars, saw how powerful this religion was, why people were, you know, dying for the word of the Most High. And the Gentile nations started to interpret the word the way that they wanted to interpret it. Okay. So he says, so much more as you see the day approaching, where the world is going to be slipping away and doing what they want to do, and not so much the word of the Most High. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Book of Romans chapter 12, we're going to get verses 4 and 5. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Many members in this community in one body. But everybody's not given the same job to do. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're supposed to be looking out for one another. We're supposed to understand that as a community, that we are encouraging one another from love to good works, and we are to be encouraging one another as though it was our own body, as though we were doing it for ourselves. So anything that I would do for me, I would do for you. Because we're the same body. And so he uses, you know, in a different scripture, that we are to, if we're members one of the same body, then we're supposed to be looking out for each other. One part of the body, we can't love one part of the body more than we love the other part of the body. Some people do that. You know, some people favor different parts of their body. But the truth of the matter is, without the other parts of their body, they would, you know, be like, oh, if they were missing a leg, they'd be, well, you know, I wish I had my leg back. You know, you got people who have lost limbs, and they say that they can still feel that limb there. Even though it's not there, they can still feel it there as though it was there. So we are to not favor one part of the body over the other. And understand that even though we're individual people, we have certain functions within the body, and that we are to perform our function in the body. We can't all do the same things. We can't all be the head. We can't all be the foot. We can't all be the eyes, those types of things. So we're, as a community, we are to come together, and each member performs their function within the body, within the community. We all belong to each other. We're all accountable to each other. We're to be in unity. Go to Psalms 133, the book of Psalms 133. Psalms 133 and 1. Psalms 133 and 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're to dwell together in unity as one body made up of many members. And everybody has their assigned duty, their assigned work that they are to do. The Most High will bless each and every one of us and has blessed each and every one of us with our own skills to add to the body. And so we're to be doing this as one, with of the same mind, of the same purpose. Go to Matthew chapter 18, the book of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Chapter 18 and verse 20. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Our common bond, no matter what color we are, no matter what nationality, our common bond is supposed to be Messiah and becoming like Messiah and having understanding like Messiah, that we agree with each other in Messiah. And so we can't say, I hate somebody who said that they believe in Messiah. If they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then he says he will judge. That's one of the things in Romans chapter 14, the book of Romans chapter 14 is one of the lessons in there. It says, you know, if they esteem one day above another, then they say they believe in him. He said, don't judge them. He will judge them. And that's why, you know, in there, I see that as a people, as an individual, we can act Messiah and choose death. But when we choose Messiah, it's supposed to be to life. But if we are going to be disobedient, then he says, don't argue with that. But don't put up with if they are saying that, you know, they're part of the body, but they're running around, you know, willfully sinning. Then we're not supposed to, you know, keep company with them. We're not supposed to let them be part of the community. So where two or three are gathered together in his name, there is he with us. And we have to know and believe that. That's our common bond, Messiah. And then we're supposed to be, you know, endeavoring to become like him and live lives according to as he has said. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's get verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord, or Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Got to be of the same mind. We cannot be on different pages. We cannot be having different understandings. We cannot be living to different standards. Because if we are living to different standards, then we're not going to have the same judgment. We're not going to come to the same conclusions on matters if we are using different standards and have divisions among us. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. Well, I feel about this this way. I feel about it that way. The word of the Most High has to be the standard. And if it's in the word of the Most High, if it's specifically covered in the word of the Most High, then it has to rule. And it has to rule 99% of the time in a literal way, because if it's not in a literal way, then we become, we start getting into interpretation. Not translation, but interpretation. So you might read a verse and interpret it one way, and then somebody else read a verse and interpret it another way. And then so how do we come to consensus? How do we come to agreement? How do we become of one mind? How do we come where we don't have any division? And so it has to be an accepted way that we say, okay, these are the things that we're going to believe in. These are the things that we're going to practice. These are the things that we're going to uphold. These are the standards that we're going to use so that we can have the same mind and the same judgment. Can't say that we keep Sabbath and then don't keep Sabbath. That doesn't work. Now, there are things that we can do on Sabbath, and there are things that we cannot. So we have to be of one mind. We have to be of the same mind. No division. So if we think that we can come together as community and we're doing things differently, we believe differently, that is only a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Be of one mind, not rendering evil for evil, or accusation for accusation, railing for railing, accusation for accusation, but contrarywise, blessed, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So we're supposed to be of the same mind, one mind, like when you look at a hive of bees, you know, every bee is an individual, but they have, you know, the drones do what the drones do. The queen does what she does. The other workers do what they do. The ones that are assigned to build the nest, they build the nest. The ones that are the young. The ones that are assigned to go out and gather food, they gather food. But they are one mind in the success of the hive. Same way with ants. They have a hive mentality. And each individual ant acts on its own, but then they all act for the good of the entire net. This is the same mentality the Most High wants us to have as his body. So whatever job we are assigned to, we do that job to what? Our best and our full ability. And that's what we do, and we don't try to cross over and do things that we're not assigned to us, that weren't given to us. Problem with us as people is a lot of times we may not like the job we're given, or we think that we deserve a different job. And so that's what we want to do. And so we're not happy, so that's not what I was called to. But the truth of the matter is we are told to be of one mind, having compassion one to another. And when, you know, everybody, sometimes some jobs are more difficult than others. Sometimes there's jobs that nobody wants to do, but somebody's got to do them. And we're to have compassion and love and be pitiful I mean, to have pity. You know, sometimes when we say somebody's pitiful, we mean that they are sorry. They are, you know, they're just, ain't no good. You just pitiful. Ain't no hope for you. But what he's saying is he wants us to be pitiful. He wants us to have pity one for another. Understanding that it's this walk is not easy. It's not easy. But we are not to be, you know, using that as an excuse not to do what we're supposed to do. And be courteous one to another. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. The book of Romans chapter 15. And we're going to get verse 5. Now the Elohim of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Yeshua HaMashiach, that you be like-minded. Well, we say we all believe in Messiah, but then we all believe in certain ways. In different ways. It says you have to be of one mind. And so, you know, all of this is pointing back toward that same thing. Be like-minded. We have to all be in agreement that we want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. We have to all be in agreement that we're going to love one another no matter whether we're Jew or Gentile. We have to be of one mind that we are going to be holy. We have to be of one mind or like-minded that we're going to be going to pursue perfection. We have to be of like mind that we're going to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. Be of one mind. So when we find ourselves out of step, then the one that's out of step has to learn to bring themselves within step, within the community. Sometimes it's just about submission, submitting ourselves one to another. According to Christ Jesus or according to Yeshua HaMashiach, be like-minded one toward another. As a community. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Because I know for sure this is not going on in the world. It's not going on in random or the Christian communities in general. In the world today, and somebody can tell me if I'm wrong, if they feel differently, but in the world today, everybody's sort of having something in common. Yeah, I believe in the scriptures. And we might be with somebody who believes differently than the way we believe. But we believe in the same Bible, but we have a different understanding. And we're not walking the same way. Okay. And I know that the churches, the vast majority of them, because of the way that it's structured today, are not doing this. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. One heart, one soul, one mind, like-minded. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. This is my house. They weren't doing that. This is my land. They weren't doing that. This is my car. This is my donkey. This is my camel. This is my food. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. This is what I know the church and the body of Messiah is not doing, at least in the United States, the way he wants his body to operate. This is what he desires. And this is the way the early church started off. And when the Gentile nations got a hold to the gospel, this changed. When the Roman Catholic Church got a hold to the gospel, this changed. And they start putting the things of the world, the government of the world, over the government of the Most High, over his kingdom. See, here's the truth of the matter, and this is what has not happened. As the word of the Most High spread, it was supposed to take over and transform every government, every nation, into being like the Most High nation, his government. But each of the worldly governments were about the power and the authority of men and what pleased men. And men love power and authority and possession. Talk about mankind, men and women. But the truth of the matter is, this gospel was supposed to transform those governments. It was supposed to transform the people. And it has been corrupted. And so this is what his intent, original intent was and still is. And I believe that's why Messiah, this is Brother Miles speaking, I believe this is why Messiah hasn't returned yet. Because he's making a space for us to do what it is that he wants done. And it just takes, you know, if you don't want to see him come back, then you don't want to see him come back. You know, that's the way I'm understanding this now. You don't want to see him come back, you don't want to see him come back. And so you're not going to do the thing that he has said to do, like he told Noah. I'm going to destroy this world, build an ark. He didn't cause judgment to come until Noah finished the ark so that he could take his into it, those that he were going to save into it. I think it's the same way in these last days and in this time period, that it started off that the church had all things in common. And they took over wherever they were at, and their communities were the way of life. And the more time went by, the further away they got from this. When they start trying to say, oh, you don't have to keep. That was, you know, that's the trigger word. Don't have to keep those same things. We are the Gentile nations, and we do things this way. And we want to keep our government, and we want to keep our way of life. But we want to enter into Messiah's kingdom. We want to enter into we want salvation, but we don't want to do what the Most High said do. We want to keep our way of life. But that's not what this word was supposed to do. So let's read this again. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of his things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So I'm looking out for you. You're looking out for me. I go to work, bring home the check. I'm just throwing it into the pot. And those people that are in charge are supposed to make sure that we have all things common. And none of us lack, that none of us have an abundance of anything, and that none of us lack. That there would eventually be no poor among us because we are the poor. And the poor would not be poor. It would be no such thing. That's why he says, lower yourself to the one that's least of you. And then bring them up. And so if we all have all things common, then none of us has. If one of us is poor, we're all poor. If we can understand this concept, this is his kingdom. If one of us is poor, we're all poor. And we're supposed to take care of and make sure that we have no poor. And the reason why we still have poor is because we're not doing what he said to do. So this was his design from the very beginning, that we all have all things in common. Go to 1 John. You don't want to go there yet. Another verse. Excuse me. Got a case of the hiccups all of a sudden. Another verse came to my mind, and it left just that fast. Let me look for this. Give me one second. I want to insert this verse here. One that just came to me. I want to insert it into this lesson here, or into this message here. In a second here, not in these books. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1 for context, so I make sure I explain this right. I don't give, you know, my opinion on it, but that we understand it's according to the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of grace of Elohim bestow on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So he's saying that the Macedonians were a poor people. But with their own riches, what they had, they were liberal. They didn't try to hold on to it. Okay? For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, or to Messiah, and unto us by the will of Elohim, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in all love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. This grace was giving, like the Macedonians did. He's getting on the Corinthians because they don't have the same mindset as the Macedonians. The Macedonians were poor people. But what they had, they shared liberally. And the Corinthians don't want to do that. Okay? I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord, or our Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That's the example Messiah gave us. Messiah was not a poor man. From birth, three kings or more came and bought him riches for his family. It allowed them to move to Egypt and to live in Egypt hidden. They didn't live like, you know, paupers. They weren't broke. To Galilee, they weren't broke. Joseph was a master carpenter. But the Most High made sure that Messiah had plenty of gold, silver, and myrrh, and frankincense, and all these things. He was not poor, but he made himself poor. Because he had to become like the lowest of us. So we have to understand that. And he wants us to be the same way. So when we're in community, we have to bring the poor up to our standard or come down to theirs. For you know, verse 9 again, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, that through, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. We have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So they had put out a word, hey, you know, to give, and that they would receive it. And he said, this is a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, that you had the willpower to do this. So there may be a performance also out of that which you have, which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to what he has not. We don't want you to give what you don't have. Don't make a promise on what you don't have. He didn't say what you're willing to give. He says, but out of what you don't have. What you have is what you should be willing to give out of. For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened. So the community is not to take on people who don't want to do, don't want to give, don't want to participate, don't want to have all things in common, not of the same mind, not who are being lazy, think that, you know, other people are supposed to take care of them. For I mean not that other men should be eased and you burdened. Not the purpose of this. Verse 14, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. If the Most High has given you abundantly, then your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. Whatever the Most High has blessed you in, you are willing to share abundantly with those that are in need. And then whatever he blesses them with in abundance, they are willing to share with you and with everybody else abundantly, so that nobody has a lack, that there may be equality. And none of you, none of us know better than one another. And the thing, the truth of the matter is, the Most High blesses us that we should bless each other. Let me say that again. The Most High blesses us that we should bless each other. But if we are doing things that are pure, if we're going out and we are, you know, drinking up our money, or we are throwing it away on things we ought to not throw it away on, we're not being good stewards. Every time you turn around, we got our hand out because we are mismanaging. We're chasing after things we ought not. We ought not chase after, or we're not honoring the Most High, and he's blowing on everything that we have because we are not in his will. He's not rebuking the devourer because we're not honoring him, so he allows the devourer to come in and to take from us continuously. We're always broke. Something always happening. We're not being of one mind, and we're not trying to make each other equal. And a lot of times we say, you know what, I'll just get mine and you get yours. It's not what he wants. It's not his community. It's not his kingdom. And so we can't say that we are loving him and pleasing him if we're not doing what he said to do, not adding to it or taking away from it. But in most cases, we're just not doing, period. That there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. He's going back to the days of manna. going back to the days when he provided manna to the people, and he told them to gather, only gather what you need for that day. And because we all have different quote-unquote needs, some of us may have needed the full two omers or the full omer that we were allowed to collect. But he didn't allow us to be greedy either. Only gather what you need. And if you need an omer, the full ration for the day, then that's what you got. And if you were a person that you didn't need a full omer, and you only needed a half, that's what you gathered. So those that gathered much had nothing left over because that's what they ate. And those that gathered little had no lack. So they gathered what they needed. No more and no less. And those that were greedy, if they tried to be greedy, then what they gathered more than what they need trying to save it, it turned into worms. This is where he's taking us back to. It turned into worms. So you thought you were going to get gain, and you thought you were going to keep yourself from having to go out and gather in the morning, but what you gathered over that what you needed, I caused it to rot. You can't consume it. You can't eat it. So you still got to go out there and gather like everybody else. It wasn't to eat, you know, they're trying to ease their burden. And so he says, no, we're not to be of that mind. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and gather three omers for two people, and we only going to eat one apiece, and we're going to save one later and split it. Now, if there was somebody that was sick in the family, they couldn't go out, then we gathered for them, and they ate what they could eat. And they didn't try to leave some over because they couldn't go out. And it was still rot. So he always, his conception from day one of his people, of his nation was, number one, I want you to depend on me. Number two, I want you to be of one mind and one body, one heart. And this is how I want things done. And so because he's not providing manna today, then, you know, we got this every man for himself mentality. And let me store up. That's not the way he wants his body and his community to operate. He wants there to be equality. He doesn't want there to be poor and those in an abundance. Today in the world, the way that the world is structured, you got people that 2% of the world's population owns 98% of the wealth. The world's mentality. 2% of the people have 98% of the world's wealth. And that's going to get even worse. That's not the way of the Most High. And so people cater to, you know, the more money somebody got, the more people cater to them because, they got money. They got possessions. They got wealth. They got riches. They got whatever. But the Most High says, you know, that's not what I desire, and that's not what I want in my kingdom. I want you all to have everything in common. Everybody has what they need, and nobody has an abundance or an overabundance. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to Elohim, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So he didn't want us to have an abundance over what we needed. And if we do have an abundance, then we are to share. We are to provide for each other. We're to have all things in common. This is what he's looking for as in his community, among his people. He don't want us, you know, being of a different mind. You know, if you love riches and you love wealth and you love having what you have, then the community of the Most High is not for you. It really is not. Never going to be on the same page. And that's what he's telling them. Now, the Corinthians have this mindset. You know, I got mine, and I'll give you something out of it, but no. This is mine. And they didn't want to give. And I think I'd have to find the verse, but Paul actually took from them to provide for the church in Jerusalem. He took from the Corinthians, stealing it from them because they were so stingy. And gave it to the church at Jerusalem, who was in great need. But the mindset that the Most High wants us to have as a community is to be of one mind, to be of one spirit. You know, that's like, if we understand this concept, that's like you taking a string, a strong string, and tying it around your big toe so tight that you cut off the blood supply to it until it dies. Nobody's going to do that that's in the right mind. They're going to make sure that their whole body gets supplied what it needs. If we are one body and one mind, then we're supposed to understand that each one of our members are a part of us. If one of us needs and we have, we're supposed to provide it. Let's continue. I want to throw that in there because this is what it's really about. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. And their abundance may be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. I want equality. I want equalness. I want you all to have all things in common as a community. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he walks in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to have fellowship one with another, but we have to walk in the same light, in his knowledge. If we're doing what he says to do, then we're going to be cleansed from all sin because we're not going to be walking in sin. And if we do walk in sin, we're going to repent of it and turn away from it. Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3. 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. One mind, one body. We're not supposed to distinguish between race, and really, and of course, with scripture, we're not supposed to distinguish between gender. In the body, we are all members of the same body. And if the Most High blesses within somebody with an ability within the scriptures, then as he uses them, male or female, there are certain positions that he disallows to the gender. But other than that, then a male or a female could do that job if they're filled with the Spirit of the Most High. We are all one, supposed to be one. Let's continue. So to Romans chapter 16. The book of Romans chapter 16. And verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division, those that get away from being of one mind, one heart. Mark them that cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine. The doctrine is to be of one mind, one heart, have all things in common, be equal, have equality. An offense is contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. Now, who the world is going to try to avoid is those that are trying to be of one mind and one heart, who are trying to have all things in common, who are trying to live in equality. The world will take that and say, hey, you guys are heretics. You are practicing heresies. You're preaching heresies. That's what they will do. But the truth of the matter is separatism. By race, by gender, by wealth, by education. It's separatism that he doesn't want. And this is what the world teaches. You know, we can come together because we believe in Messiah, but, you know, there's a reason why you're poor and I'm not. There's a reason why you live in a studio and I have a mansion. There's a reason why I got deep pockets and you don't. We use all these different separate us and to justify ourselves. The truth of the matter, we all need each other. Let the stuff hit the fan and the powers to be want to come against you because you are whatever. You are female. So all the men and those female that feel a certain way, they come against you because you don't think the way that they think. And they persecute you and attack you. No man or woman is an island unto themselves. We cannot survive on our own. And so the Most High said, my people, I want them to be of one mind. I want them to be of one heart. I want them to be of one understanding, that there be no divisions among you, that you stand together. That's how when somebody that is a quote-unquote Christian and can treat somebody differently based upon race. I don't care whether it's a Hebrew thinking that they're better than somebody than an Edomite, or whether it is a white person coming against a black person. No matter what it is, the Most High is not condoning. That's why he says don't get into the vain genealogy. You are all one in Christ. You're all one in me. So I know when somebody's religion is vain, when they have no understanding and they want to feel good about themselves, but they are not in the will of the Most High. The only thing the Most High cares about is good and evil. Do you obey my voice or do you not? That's what he cares about. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Let me find this verse. Acts chapter 10. And let me find this verse that I'm looking for. Go to Acts chapter 10, look at verses 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him, Elohim, and works righteousness, is accepted with him." This is the Most High is looking for, those that fear him and work righteousness, are doing what he said to do. Doesn't matter about race. Doesn't matter about nationality. Who is he going to make Israel? He's going to keep some of Israel of the flesh, not all of Israel of the flesh. And then he's going to accept those from other nations into Israel, and they become Israel. That's not replacement theology. That is, the Most High can make whoever he wants to be Israel. He chose a people. He said, out of this bloodline, I'm going to create a nation. But the people out of that bloodline, the vast majority of them rejected him. Therefore, he said, now I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And I'm going to make of the two people one man, one nation, one nation. Those that fear him and work righteousness. And we know working righteousness is keeping his laws, his statutes, his commandments. Doing what he said to do. Be of one mind. Be of one spirit. This is what he wants. He doesn't care where it's coming from. He's not a respecter of persons. What he respects is, do you obey him to show that you love him? And do you treat your fellow man like he told you to treat your fellow man? Are you a good person in his eyes? Do you obey him? Well, I obey to a degree. We don't want to let go of this world, and that's the problem. And then we want to feel a certain kind of way about ourselves. You know, we're better than you are. Israel got so puffed up that we're the people of the book. We're better than you. God chose us. You're nothing. Most God says, that's not the mentality I wanted you to have. I'm only not choosing them because they are doing wickedness. They are doing abomination. That's why I'm not choosing them. And I chose you to be my people so that you could show them what I expect, and then you wouldn't do it. But that was the problem. And that problem comes up with anybody who believes that they're Israel. They become puffed up in that thing. That's not what the Most High wants. He wants those that will obey his voice, those that will do righteousness and fear him. That's who he's looking for, and that's who he's going to make Israel, both Jew and Gentile, of the people that do that. Can't say you love him and don't keep his commandments. Can't say that you love him and don't do what he says to do. Can't say you love him and don't try to fulfill what he sent us out to do. Comfortable. That's not going to help us. So we're to watch out for those that cause division. Now, we don't need to do all that. We don't need to have all things in common. We don't need to be equal. I do my thing over here, you do yours over there. We'll meet and worship the Most High together at church or at camp. That's not what he wants. He says, in vain do you worship me. You're not giving me what I want. You're doing what's right in your own mind, in your own eyes. But he wants us to have equality amongst each other and have all things equal, to obey his voice. It doesn't matter what land we come out of. It doesn't matter what nationality we are. It doesn't matter what language we speak. So if we read in Ephesians chapter 6, all those who fear him and work righteousness, whether Jew or Gentile, he's going to take and make one person, one body out of them. And none of us can't be puffed up. None of us can boast. This is what he wants for his community. Go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. The book of Romans chapter 16, let's get verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division. No, we just did that. My fault. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. Romans 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputation. If we are of one mind and one heart, and we understand that we're supposed to have all things in common, and somebody comes in and says, hey, that's not my understanding. I doubt if y'all know what y'all talking about. I doubt that what you're doing is what the Most High wants to do. He says, accept them, but not to what? Doubtful disputation, not to doubtful dispute. Are you willing to do what the community is doing? And are you going to accept the way of the community? And if they are willing to, then we accept them. If they're not, then they're going to do something and we're going to have to run them out. They won't be able to stay amongst us. Because they're going to be off of that one mind and that one heart. They're not, you know, you're trying to let them join and become of the same mind, become of the same heart. They are not of the same mind and the same heart, then they're going to always be doubtful and they're going to always bring up disputes. They're going to always cause contention. They're going to cause division. They're going to try to bring up obstacles. They're not going to have that eyes mentality where everybody's working to the good of everyone else. You're going to try to keep back some for themselves. Just in case This don't work out. I got this over here. That's that mentality of failure. That's why I say I don't like when people say, I'm going to try. You're either going to do or you're not going to do. The Most High doesn't do on the fence. He doesn't do in between. You're either going to do or you're not going to do. Nowhere in the scriptures where you find the word try. Try to do good. You either are doing good or you're not doing good. You either are doing wickedness or you're not doing wickedness. There's no such thing as try. That's what was the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. They went and sold all that they had. They went and sold their land and kept back part of it just in case this thing don't work out. But they wanted to appear that they were in full compliance and in full agreement. Yeah, we went and sold our land, and we sold it for this much, and this is everything that we sold it for, and we're sharing it equally amongst everybody. No, they held back part just in case this thing didn't work out. And Peter said, hey, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And in that case, to show us as an example, they dropped dead, both of them. First, Ananias for lying to Peter, them. Then his wife came back in and backed him up in the lie. Then she died. So you're both conspiring to do the same thing. You both have a lack of faith, and you are being doubtful. And the Most High wants us to walk in belief so that we work toward actually doing, that we don't have an excuse for not doing. Because when we say we tried, well, I tried. That's why anything that I start, I don't care what kind of project it is, I keep after it until I succeed. I don't like trying anything and not being successful at it. Because I either was successful or I failed. So I might have to step back and take a look and say, oh, well, let me try it this way. Maybe that way that I was trying to do it, that I was attempting to do it, was not the right way, but I'm not going to take this loss. And keep at it and keep doing until it's successful, because that's the mentality we got to have to be successful in this walk. Stumbled there a little bit. Not that I failed, but I stumbled. Let me look at this a different way. Let me try it a different way. Let me change some things until we have success. Can't do try. Can't be weak in the faith. We have to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Because if we're weak in the faith, we're going to have doubts about anything and everything. And we're going to have to cause disputes, arguments. We're going to cause division, set up obstacles. Well, we can't do that because of this. Well, is that in fact the truth? Or should we, you know, is there another way? If you're saying we can't do that because of this, do you have a solution? Can we approach this another way, or are you just coming with a failure? So we have to be of that mentality that we are going to be successful. Go to Romans chapter, let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we're going to get verse 20. John chapter 13 and verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. If the Most High send someone, and they're coming in the name of Messiah, in his name, then he says we're receiving him. If there's somebody that's poor and say that they believe in Messiah, and they are walking in his way, and we receive him, he says, you know, he says another way, all you who fed me when I was starving, who came to visit me when I was in prison, who clothed me when I was naked. And if people ask that, hey, when did we do those things? When you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. That's why we can't look at social status. Not supposed to be something that we're looking at. You're not supposed to look at that, you know, just because that man or that woman is on the street, they got a sign up saying, we'll work for food. Well, you know, I'm hungry. We don't look at it as though, oh, what did you do wrong? We don't look at it as what, everybody's out there running game. You got do have flim flam artists, you got panhandlers. Spirit of the Most High tells you to give, you give. And you don't worry about it. What are they going to do with the money? Just give. And the Most High says, he will repay you. He will give it back to you. But we look at it like, well, I just gave away whatever. And it's just gone to waste. So they're probably going to go get some drugs or going to get drunk or do whatever. If the Most High, if the Spirit of the Most High tells you to do it, you just do it. Don't worry about it. He says, and I will repay you. Let's get that verse. Hold on. I know that it says that in the scriptures. I don't actually remember exactly what verse that is. Let me find it. Give me a hot second. So I know people who, they detest poor people. They feel like, hey, they're poor for a reason. I might have to look for the scripture later. I'm not finding it. I will go to Proverbs 19. I believe that's the verse. Proverbs 19. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 17. Pity upon the poor lends unto Yah, and that which he has given will he, Yah, pay him back. We got to know that. We got to believe that. That's got to be part of our mantra, part of our understanding, that the Most High says when we lend to the poor, we lend to him. You don't know why they're poor. Don't know why they are going through what they're going through, why they're in the condition that they're in. It says if you lend it to them, you lend it to them, and don't worry about them paying you back. Yah says he will give it back to you. He will give it back to us. As a community, we have to understand that. As a community, we have to be of one mind, one heart. We can't be causing division one amongst another. Can't be of different understanding. But that causes division. That causes dispute. So when it comes to the poor, we don't say, oh, you're poor because of a reason. You don't take care of your business. You know, you're lazy. If they won't get up and go to work, if they're part of the community and they refuse to get up and come to work and give their talent to the community, he says those that don't work, don't eat. So that we are taking care of people for the sake of taking care of people. They have to understand that, you know, they may not have money, but they have labor. They can help in some kind of way. And then sooner or later, the Most High will lift them up through the community. And they won't be poor. And they're not to, you know, hold on to what they have and try to, you know, be separate. So that, you know, just in case, I'll have something for myself. Not what he wants, not what he has ever wanted. So we're to be of one mind, one heart. We are to have all things in common. We are to be equal. So to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. No, let's go to, I'm sorry. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. If we have the Spirit of the Most High, we are part of his body. That's why it's important. Can't overstress it. I never overstress this enough. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, you're not part of the body. Don't care what's coming out your mouth. You're not part of his body because it's by his Spirit do we become part of his body. And by his Spirit, we become part of the same mindset. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, it's by his Spirit. Whether we be bond or free, by his Spirit. And have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. In your body, you got brain cells, you got bone cells, you got muscle cells, you got skin cells. Different parts of the body are made up of different types of cells that perform different functions. Many members, one body. We are all many members. And we are supposed to work in the function that the Most High gave us to work in. One body. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Because it says that, well, I'm a foot, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If we were all eye cells, we wouldn't have an ear. Where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Who's going to be the nose cell to smell? But now has Elohim set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. The problem is we want to get into the body and be what we want to be in the body. Oh, no, I think I'm a heart cell. Nobody wants to be the butt cell. Nobody wants to be the sole of the foot cell. Nobody just wants to be help. I'm more important than that. You are wherever the Most High put you in the body. If you're an ear, you're an ear. If you're an eye, you're an eye. If you're a tongue, you're a tongue. If you're a brain, you're a brain. We're not all the same. We're put into the body to serve different functions. Same mind. We're supposed to be doing the same things. We're working toward the same end. And not our own end, but the end of what the Most High desires. The plan that He has put in place. But we'll come with our own opinions. We'll come with our own understanding. And we won't try to get of one mind. To bring everybody into one understanding. So we can't all be the same thing. Everybody can't be the mouth. Everybody can't be the brain. And if the Most High says, hey, you're a butt cell, then be the best butt cell you can be. The Most High says that we're supposed to give you double honor. Because of the job that you're doing, nobody wants to do that job. But He set you to do it. So we honor you more than we honor the one that's supposed to be the brain. Because the one that's the brain, people are, you know, looking at them and they look at them a certain way and they give them honor. But if you're the janitor and all you do is, you know, you clean the bathrooms and people know that, then they want to say, oh, you're just a janitor. He says, no, you give them double honor. So that they feel equal. Let's keep reading in this. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. What does this word feeble mean? Look this word up. In the Webster's Dictionary. Destitute of much physical strength. Infants are feeble at their birth, infirm, sickly, debilitated by disease, debilitated by age or decline of life, not full or loud, or as a feeble voice or a sound, meaning weak, not in full strength, wanting force or vigor, not bright or strong or a strong eye. Strong, faint, imperfect. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more, that seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which you think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, those parts of the body that, you know, people don't necessarily like, the armpit, the soles of the foot. You know, people look at people's face, they look at their eyes, their teeth, their nose. If they're sexual beings, they're going to look at the behind. They're going to look at, you know, other parts of the body. And they're going to give honor to those parts. To the body of Messiah, he's saying, We are of one mind, we are one body, and those parts that are less honorable. Nobody really gives honor to the butthole. And I'm just going to be real with you. For what it does. Nobody gives honor to it, but somebody's got to be it. To those parts that are less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And I'm being graphic for a reason. Because this is the principle in the scripture. Those people that have to do the job that nobody else wants to do, we might say, oh, it don't take a genius toilet. Let the toilet not get clean and go in there and see how you like it. Those people that think that, oh, you just cook and serve me, let them not cook and you don't know how to cook. See how well it goes for you. Everybody is necessary. And so for those people who are doing those jobs, those people who are not doing the jobs that bring them honor and bring them glory in the eyes of man, who don't think, you know, those jobs aren't as glamorous, he says, have more abundant, when we honor them, when we bestow more abundant honor on them, for what they do, when we appreciate them above even what the head may do, they become beautiful just like the head. They become appreciated just like the head. And it's the mentality that we're supposed to have in the body. We don't, because somebody's doing something that we think is lesser than, we don't say, oh, you're nothing, you're nobody. No, he says, give them more abundant honor, that they might be beautiful too. The last part of verse 23, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Those people that are less desirable, doing the jobs that are less desirable among us, have more abundant beauty. Somebody's got to do that job. So if we're in a community and all we have is porta potties and the porta potties got to be cleaned out, somebody's got to clean them. Oh, no, I don't shovel caca. I'm above that. Somebody's got to do it. Or go in there and use that toilet and it's all full. You can't even sit down, can't stand the smell, because it's beneath you, literally and figuratively, beneath you to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Well, let so-and-so do it. They don't do nothing else, or they don't contribute in this way, or they don't know nothing. Let them do it. If they end up doing it, then you don't talk down to them. You don't demean them. You honor them. And you don't do it in a way to be condescending, or there's another word here I'm looking for. You don't do it in such a way that you are just doing it because you're saying it because you don't want to do it, and they should be doing it. I don't even know what I know the word I'm looking for. I'm trying to define this word. But you're not going to do it in a fake way. Your genuineness, the honor that you bestow upon them needs to be genuine and not fake. verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. The comely parts don't have any need of receiving honor because they're going to be receiving it anyway. But Elohim has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body. When we think people are beneath us and that they're doing a job that we say, hey, I ain't doing that. I'm above that. And if somebody else does it, then, you know, they're doing it because they're lesser than. Then you're going to cause schisms in the body because they're going to be feeling some kind of way. Y'all don't appreciate me. I'm nobody here. You just tear down their self-esteem and they are nothing in your eyes. Salt that causes schisms in the body, that causes people to react a certain way, to act out, to rebel, to be of low esteem. So he says that there should be no schisms in the body, but that members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. That we are all equal. That we have understanding. Yeah, there's somebody that's got to be the head. There's somebody that's got to shovel the doo doo. Because you're the head, don't make you better than the one that shovels the doo doo. Because if he don't shovel it, then we're all in trouble. This is the mentality that the Most High wants us to have one toward another. That we don't become puffed up. Prideful. We are all in need of each other. I tell you what, with your own body, let yourself become constipated, truly constipated. Where you cannot go to the bathroom and see how you feel. You don't give that part of your body much attention as long as it's working and doing what it's supposed to do. And you don't bestow upon it much honor, but let it stop working. Then you'll understand. I can't do without this part of my body. If I can't evacuate, if I can't get rid of this waste, I'm in trouble. Every part of the body suffers. All the rest of the body suffers. Your brain becomes feverish. Your hands and your feet swell up. Your whole insides become poisoned. They have had people so constipated that it starts backing up through their mouth. That's super constipated. And so the Most High says, give those parts of the body the attention that they require. And don't think down upon them because of the job that they do. Every job, every cell, every organ serves a function, even if we don't know what function it serves. And you treat it equally, and you give it honor. Now, we are all the body of Mashiach, of Christ, and members in particular. So when it comes to this community, when it comes to the body of Messiah, we have to understand that we are all to be treated equally. We are all to have everything equally. If the head has a mansion, then the foot should have a mansion. If the head has a Lamborghini, then the foot should have a Lamborghini. Having all things equal. This is what he's talking about. You don't have one above the other. I pray we can get this. We understand it. And we're not going to go into the different offices. Not at this point, at this time. Let's see, where do I want to go from here? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and we'll stop here for this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to get verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of Elohim? We are his temple, each and every one of us. And it's in this temple that he what? Resides. And that the spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you. This is why it's important to receive the Holy Spirit. The Most High, when he said, when David said he wanted to build a house, build the Most High a house, and the Most High said, what house will you build me? Because you have that fancy palace over there. You feel sorry because I'm in this tent. You know, that's a good thing that you feel that way, that I deserve something better. But I have already made me a house from the very beginning. It was you, my people. That's my house. That's where I desire to reside at, inside of you. I made you to be my temple. I made you for me to dwell in. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. If we are doing things to destroy the body, not just ourselves, but we're supposed to take care of ourselves too, because we are members of that body, but if we're doing things to tear down his temple, his body, he says he will destroy us. For the temple of Elohim is holy. Which temple you, me, all of us are. If the Most High has taken up residence in us, we are the temple. When we show up, he shows up in us. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. If you don't have the knowledge of the Most High uses the foolish things of men. The foolish things. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to Elohim. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. They're trying to outthink the Most High, thinking that they can know more than him, thinking that they can outwit him. He says, I take your wisdom and use it against you, since you think you're so smart. I'll take those things that you believe that you know and tear you down with them if they are contrary to me. 20. Again, Yah knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. If we're walking after him, if we're walking in his way, if we're walking in fear of him, keeping his commandments, doing what he says to do, the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of him. That's what the scriptures teach us. The fear of him, so that we obey his voice, so that we do what he says to do. We don't come up with our own wisdom, our own craftiness. I think it ought to be this way. He's already written and told us what way it is to be, what we are to do. Be of one mind, one heart. Treat each other equally. Share amongst yourselves. Don't let any of you lack for anything and say you belong to me. Let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you, Father, to become of one mind, one heart, one spirit, by your mind and by your heart and by your spirit, Most High. This is what we seek after. As a community, Father, we want to come together and we want to live in one mind and in one heart. We don't want there to be divisions amongst us. We want to be focused on you, Father, and living the life that you would have us to live, not the life that the world would have us to live, but the life that you would have us to live, that there would be no poor among us, not that we're going to exclude the poor, but we will help to bring them up so that they aren't poor, if they are part of the community. That there be none of us that has an abundance more than what we need. Because it is your will and your desire that we should be that way. It doesn't matter whether we are Jew or Gentile, whether we are white or black, whether we are Puerto Rican or Mexican, whether we're Russian or Democratic. Capitalist. As long as we fear you and keep your commandments, we are accepted with you. Whether we are male or female, it is your desire that we be of one heart and one mind, and that we work toward establishing your kingdom on this earth. Father, help us to do your will. Give us the mind that we would be of one mind and one heart, that we would not be divided. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, on tomorrow morning, spiritual wellness. We are still on the Black History in the Bible site. And we are, where did we stop at? One of you sisters tell me where we stopped at. Anybody remember? Sister Mary, Madam Secretary?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll go back and listen to the broadcast.
The broadcast.
See where we're at.
I can't really remember, but we will be doing spiritual wellness,
and we're looking at
Black History in the Bible,
because let me mute because I'm getting an echo. Because we're looking at why the nations and even our own people, how do we confront them when they don't believe that we're the people of the book? And the history tells us after we left Israel. You won't learn it in American history, but history of other countries, whether it's the Spaniards or the Portuguese, the Italian, every place that we were at, that we ran from, it's documented where we ran to, into West Africa, how they came into West Africa. They knew who we were. They took us out of West Africa and brought us into the Western Hemisphere. And they tell you that, you know, that these were a black Negroid people. So they know who we are. We won't get that in American history, but we get it from history from other nations. So that we understand that we are the people of the book, our forefathers are the people of the book, and so that, you know, we can't convince everybody, and that's not the ideal, but as many as the Most High should call. And they should come into this understanding and that they should accept it, because most of our people hear it, they don't want to accept it. They want to be anything but. And I think it's because it requires us to be holy. It requires us to be perfect. And they don't want to be holy and perfect. Just want to live their life, keep what it is that they have set their eyes on. But you were chosen for a purpose. And we are the only people in the world that the Most High chose to be his priesthood. And so if we can come into the knowledge of that and the understanding of that, and that, you know, now that our people rejected it, he's taking other peoples of the world to be part of his priesthood. But we need to know so that we can get our people to do what they need to do, which is repent. Not for just their sins, but also for the sins of our forefathers. That's why it's important that we know who we are. We're the only people that have to repent for the sins of our forefathers, because this is what got us in this condition. And once we do that, then we will see change amongst our people. Cannot go wrong obeying the Most High. You cannot go wrong obeying him. You can go crazy wrong disobeying him. So we will do spiritual wellness on tomorrow. I will, you know, put it out tonight or early in the morning, what we will be discussing. But we will meet and do spiritual wellness. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. All I can do is teach you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Peace and blessings. Let's see. I should let y'all sing the theme song.
sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Amen. Have a blessed evening.
Amen.
You all.
Okay, you too.
Yeah. Okay.